All ancient cultures included bones in their diets. They ate bones because they tasted good and strengthened their own bones. Then along came modern times and broken bones. And so today we pause to ask, should we look to the ancient diets to cure our broken bones?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with your host, Michael Olson. And now get ready for 1 hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 1364th edition of the Food Chain Radio Show. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Paphos who are tuned into the podcast as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What. Folks, like many, I often started my day with a hot cup of strong coffee. The heat warmed me up and the caffeine jerked me awake. Good morning, world. This morning, coffee habit began in high school and continued without interruption until a few years ago when I was introduced to bone broth by the folks at the Weston A. Price Foundation. The foundation caught my attention by boldly standing atop a soapbox in the public square and stating the dietary heresy, fat is good. This statement directly contradicted the dominant dietary truth of the time, as put forth by the American Heart Association, that fat is bad. The foundation furthered the dietary heresy by further asserting that modern foods are nutritionally poor, while the foods of traditional diets were rich. And one of the things that made traditional foods rich was that all traditional cultures included that which modern cultures exclude, bones. And so today I prefer to start my day with a cup of hot, rich bone broth. The heat warms me up and the nutrition awakens my body. Then, after the bone broth has set up my day, I go for that cup of coffee. What I have found in bone broth and other foods of our nourishing traditions leads me to ask, should we look back to ancient diets to cure our breaking bones? Well, here to help acquaint us to the nourishing tradition of bone broth, we have Cindy Campos, Weston A. Price Foundation. Cindy, welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me today.
Good. Move right up on that mic, girl.
Okay. I will.
That much better there. Also with us, we have Michelle Carter, who is co-owner of Kitchen Table Cultures. Michelle, welcome.
Hello. Thank you very much, Michael.
And Andrew Renard, who is also the co-owner of Kitchen Table Cultures. And what? A chief babysitter?
A little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything, huh? Okay. Well, good.
Thrilled to be here, Michael.
Thrilled to have you aboard. So, welcome to the Food Chain, all three of you. First, I'd like to ask a basic question. When did the apple of Weston A. Price fall onto your head? What caused you to wake up to this different way of thinking? Cindy, let's start with you.
You know, Michael, back in 2015, a good friend of mine was diagnosed with stomach cancer. And naturally, I wanted to do everything that I could to help her. So I started researching foods that actually helped with modern diseases such as cancer. And during my research, I stumbled upon the Weston A. Price Foundation. And it was at that time that I learned that the Weston A. Price Foundation actually honored the research that Dr. Weston Price did. And they were also so dedicated to restoring nutrient-dense foods into the American diet. And for those that don't know who Weston A. Price is, he was a dentist back in the 1930s, and he traveled around the world, usually in remote villages, and he tried to find out what caused tooth decay and physical degeneration. And what he discovered after 10 years of traveling, he discovered that people that consumed nutrient-dense foods actually had straight teeth and no cavities. They were strong and healthy, and they were resistant to disease.
And because of that, You joined Weston A. Price Foundation.
That's exactly what I did. I became a member, and back in 2020, I actually became the chapter leader for Santa Cruz County.
Well, good for you. Michelle, now, when did the apple of Weston A. Price fall in your head?
Oh, I ran from that apple for years. It took a lot of hitting me over the head before I finally opened up myself and allowed myself to hear what I didn't want to for so long, and that was the opposite of what I've been told.
Sure.
Was true.
Conventional. But what was the apple that fell on your head that went ding?
The ding was I had my first child.
Oh.
That changed everything. And suddenly I had this thing that was happening, and it was coming from my gut, and it was telling me, wait up, that what you thought you knew, that might not be true. There might be something else out there. So I started to push back a little bit. Some years later, I met Andrew, and he came with baggage, something along the lines of nutrient dense and nourishing traditions and Weston A. Price and fermentation and cultures. And I was like, wait, what? And he was like, just give it a try. It took me pushing back and saying, nope, I won't do that. I don't, what are offals? I don't want to do that. And here I am today, 3 kids later, and I live and breathe it. Mm-hmm. Weston A. Price makes sense to me now. When folks come up to me and they say things that sound similar, I know what they're talking about. And it feels really good to know now that feeling is my gut telling me, follow what you really truly know in your bones.
Andrew, when did the apple fall on your head?
Well, Michael, I got brought up in a family that
it should be fair to tell the audience that you woke up with what today?
Well, disclaimer, I woke up ironically today with laryngitis. It's amazing how life works. So here we are.
Your life knew that you were coming on radio, right?
I feel fine, and my voice just didn't show up today.
Well, that's okay. We'll rough it through.
So and we'll make it.
Yeah, just a quick explanation of how you woke up to Weston A. Price Foundation and the nourishing tradition of traditional foods.
Well, I mean, I had a background with family that ate real food in from an era where people were finding the wonder of you know, frozen and canned products. My parents always enjoyed fresh produce. So I had that sort of background of you know, and the knowledge of what real food really was. But it wasn't until I attended Bowman College and got a certificate called the Natural Chef Program at Bowman College in Berkeley. It's all, you know, holistic culinary program. And I was required to do an internship. And right down the street on University Avenue was a sort of an iconic prepared food business that was loosely affiliated with the Weston Price Foundation called Three Stone Hearth. And they were kind of famous for their bone broth. And they were one of the sort of seminal, you know, businesses that had sort of kicked off this healthy fat bone broth, ancestral wisdom, all those buzzwords that are kind of maybe seem a little overdone now. But back then, it was a very novel thing. And I walked down there and knocked on their door and told them I wanted to do an internship. And within a few months, I was asked to stay there as a worker and became a worker owner for a number of years and got to make a lot of bone broth.
Good, because we're looking forward to learning about how to make bone broth. But now we know that we can blame all this on Berkeley. It works. A lot of things happen in Berkeley that get out to the world. And I was gifted once with an intensive course in Chinese at Cal Berkeley. And I found it to be an incredible institution. So... And then there's the other side of Berkeley, too. But at any rate, so we know where you're coming from. Now, A little bit about Weston A. Price. Cindy told us that he was a dentist that traveled around and categorized people who were healthy and people who were not. And from what I understand, he could actually compare the teeth of people who lived on traditional diets and those who lived on the Western diets. And those who lived on the Western diets, their cheeks were sallow and their cheeks would get narrow and their bones and their teeth and their jaws would, it was just falling apart.
It was.
What is it about modern diet makes our bones fall apart?
You know, Andrew, you want to answer that?
Well, I mean, interestingly, I think one thing I wanted to point out that Weston, Dr. Price had an amazing term that he gave for these modern diets. He called them the disconnecting food of modern commerce. And I love that whole, you know, idea that you know, we've lost connection with real food and true nourishment. And so that's the main thing I wanted to point out. Now, Cindy, what's your take?
So we have lost connection. We're trying desperately to reconnect it.
And that's exactly what Weston A. Price does. They try to reconnect people by using their 11 basic principles. And the dietary principles, the first three of the dietary principles are directly from Weston A. Price and also the 11th one. But anything between 4 and 10 is based on the research that Weston A. Price has done. So they use these principles to educate us and to guide us back to the ancestral way of eating, which is traditional foods. And if you really think about it, traditional cultures around the world, they made use of bones, and they had no idea that these bones contained calcium. They just knew that they had to eat bones to get strong bones. And by eating the bones, I mean, they not only made bone broth, they actually fermented the bones.
Pulverized them, turned them into flour.
Yeah, they made them into a paste, and they would eat them. So, I mean, that's basically what they used to do. And people have gotten away from bone broth. I mean, if anything, they look to bone broth, and they go to the grocery store, and they buy these brands that are at the grocery store. And if you really pay attention to these ingredients on these bone broths at the store, they are loaded with the neurotoxin, monosodium glutamate. They have emulsifiers, thickeners, artificial flavorings. They even have artificial coloring. So, you know what? The best thing to do is make your own bone broth or drink Andrew's.
And that's where we're going to be going after the break that we're going to take here. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going back to the old times when people ate rich, nutrient-rich, dense foods. And now we eat foods that make our bones break. What a bummer. So we're going to go back. And one of the ways Weston A. Price brings us back to those foods is by introducing us to bone broth. So stay tuned. We're going to talk about bone broth and getting healthy again.
And now, back to What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Yes, welcome back. We are talking bone broth. No, we're talking essential nutrition. And bone broth is one of those elements of essential nutrition, at least that according to the Weston A. Price Foundation and its advocates, three of which are sitting in the studio with me today. And guess what? We're all sipping bone broth. Yes, we have both beef and chicken bone broth, but that's not all you can make bone broth out of. Isn't that not true, Andrew?
Oh, certainly that's true. As I've been pointed out by Michael, he's anxiously awaiting our first batch of pork broth.
I am.
The trotters are in the works. They're coming.
Okay, good. That's good to hear. Now, when I first met the folks from Kitchen Table Cultures, it was at the farmer's market. And I happened to be strolling along, and oh my goodness, there's somebody with bone broth. And so I went over and I introduced myself, and what are you doing? And well, Michelle said, pull the microphone up here. Michelle said, I get all the vegetables I need from meat.
If you don't mind, Michael, so this is what I remember. I was at the back of the SUV pulling out something or other from our second cooler refrigerator system. And I hopped out. I hopped out backwards. And this gentleman approaches me and he goes, "Whoa, how'd you do that?" And I said something along the lines of, "It's the bone broth."
Yeah.
And that started the conversation. It's bone broth.
Yes. So here's a young lady, mother of three, jumping out of a truck backwards, big smile on her face. Cindy comes by, full of piss and vinegar and a big smile. And so I'm thinking, whatever they're drinking, I'd like some. But in truth, I've been drinking bone broth for quite a while. My first thought was, is this bone broth real? Because I am a little bit leery of the industrial bone broth I see on the shelves of big box stores. I just don't believe them. And so when I looked at Kitchen Table Cultures bone broth, I realized that, oh my goodness, this is food with its farmer's face on it. Mm-hmm. And I can be rest assured that whatever the animals that I am consuming were, whatever they were eating is good too. So I always say that if we are what we eat, we are also what we eat ate.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so these are folks who are very conscious about bone tea. We did have a great argument, though, about slow cooking.
Yes.
And it's a fun story because I started off with slow cooking bone tea on the kitchen stove until the wife drove me out of the house. You get your bone tea and get out of here. And so I ended up in the barbecue grill, slow cooking bone tea for hours and hours and hours. And then somebody came to me and said, "Well, why don't you use a pressure cooker?" So that's how I make my bone tea now, is slow cooking with a pressure cooker. Is that cheating? It could be. Michelle?
Yeah. So, Michael and I, this is the ongoing conversation. And what I quite like is when Michael's at the booth, and he'll mention it to other customers as well, "What do you think of this? What if they did this?" And I'm pretty steadfast. And again, this is Michelle talking here. It takes a lot to convince me to try something else here. I really am a big believer in low and slow. Mm-hmm. Time and patience yield the best results. And it comes to what we're talking about here, nutrients. I do strongly believe that what you want is to cook it low and slow, because that is how you're going to get the most out of your food. I'm a little leery of cooking at high pressure and high heat. that concerns me somewhat because I don't think you're going to get quite as many of the nutrients.
Okay, Andrew, expert. You're the expert. What do you think?
I wouldn't say I'm an expert, but I will say that product analysis that's been done has shown that the slow-cooked broth is about three times higher in aminos, in the essential aminos that are very important elements of all aspects of our metabolic process and healing. The proline and glycine, glutamine and alanine. It's about three times as much of those aminos in the slow-cooked broth. Now, does that go for the other? Is it as protein rich? I'm not sure. I know that our bone broth, we have not had it analyzed yet. We are going to. We plan to. We'll get back to you on the.
Okay, it'll be a wonderful conflict, Cindy.
Yeah, you know, I just kind of wanted to add to that because, you know, investing in a stock pot is the way to go. And it actually cooking your broth slowly, it actually extracts all the nutrients from the bones. So I'm a leery when it comes to pressure cookers as well because, you know, there's so much talk about conveniences and doing things quickly. But you know what? It's not about doing things quickly. It's about taking your time and extracting the nutrients from these bones and slow cooking this broth, not using a pressure cooker. You don't want to use this quickly. You want to take your time.
Okay, three against one. All right. Now, what exactly is bone tea? So Weston A. Price is standing up and saying, got to go back to traditional cultures. Got to go back to nutrient-dense food. Or die. Or have broken bones. Or your mind dissipates. Or whatever. We have to go back to real food. And they hold up bone broth as a good introduction to real food. Now, when I wake up in the morning and brew up my little cup of bone broth, my goodness, the second it hits my stomach, my body goes, thank you. It's just like that. Just like that. So what is it that does it? What is bone tea? Cindy?
You know, it was interesting how you said that as soon as you reach for that bone broth and you drink it and it just makes you feel good. Well, the reason that I discovered was that bone broth actually stimulates your dopamine receptors. So you actually get that good feeling when you're drinking that bone broth. And so, you know, you don't really need to reach for that chocolate, you know, or drink that cup of coffee, which is loaded with sugar to get that good feeling. All you really need to do is just drink some broth. So, yeah.
What's in it? Andrew?
Well, I mean, what's
in it? Bone? You throw some bones in a pot.
Okay, well, this batch we're drinking right now is very meaty. The wonderful thing is we source from local ranchers and each... Each rancher has a little bit different. The mix is a little different, but it's kind of fun. So this mix
is it like it sounds like wine?
Well, so I had a guy from Texas at the farm stand the other day. He took a sip of this. He said, "Oh man, that's liquid steak right there."
but you talk about different animals from different ranches. Producing a different kind of bone tea. And before the show, I heard the three of you talking about this one versus that one versus this one. So what we're talking about is essentially like wine, where you take grapes from different vineyards and you mix them together and you get different wines. And so that's exactly what you're talking about, only we're talking about bones.
Or you keep it and you keep them separate and it's more like a varietal, right? Like this batch is from Mark Farr, a wonderful young man. I say young compared to me, young man who ranches locally. It's probably our most local sourced bones that come from Salinas, from Corral de Terra region, and his bones. While they don't have a lot of like, at least this batch didn't have a lot of bulbous like joint bones. Right, there were a lot of flaps that were very cartilaginous.
Oh, and, cartilage.
Cartilage. So you ask, like, what's in it? Like, what, like, how, you know, I can make bone broth at home, right? I can just zip up to Whole Food and get some beef bones, right, and make my own bone broth. Theoretically, yes, that's true. But the bone broth that I'm seeking to make that I think is the most beneficial is a very therapeutic bone broth that has a lot of gelatinous quality, a lot of collagen, you know, rich bone broth. And that's going to come from bones that we call them gel bones, knuckle bones, these bones from the connective regions, connective tissue. Mark's bones have a lot of flaps of what I think are like cartilaginous pieces. And there's quite a bit of meat stuck to these bones, and it gives it a very the liquid steak element that I'm talking about.
There it is, and boy, where do you get some trotters? Then you're gonna have
and to back up, we don't have to stop there because there's fish bone broth that has a lot of omegas, and that's a real quick cook. You don't cook that stuff for days.
Right.
A customer came by our booth. She raises rabbits. She made rabbit bone broth. The other day, not a real fatty animal, but, you know, bone broth.
So you're looking for the cartilage and you're looking for the gelatin in the bones the marrow.
Indeed.
And the marrow in the bones.
And those. So along that end for my chicken bone broth, I use a lot of feet.
Chicken feet, yeah.
A product that you do.
Which is very big in Asia.
Exactly. Most of the chicken feet gets exported to Asia. By the way, you don't see it, you know, you can now find it at Whole Foods, you know, and so forth. But by and large, that was something you would not see at American markets. It is a staple at Asian markets.
Yes. And so what we're looking for are things rich in cartilage and the gelatin that cushions the bones. Yeah. Cindy, go ahead.
Yeah. So I just kind of wanted to add to what Andrew was saying, because he talks about the gelatin and the collagen in the broth. And the gelatin is actually very, very important because it actually neutralizes the intestinal toxins. So by neutralizing them, you don't get diseases like Crohn's disease or leaky gut syndrome and irritable bowel syndrome. And the collagen is very important because it actually detoxifies the liver. And when you detoxify the liver, you actually make the liver work like it was intended to. So it's so important that you have, you know, the chicken feet in the broth and the collagen and the gelatin. It's so important that you have that.
Now, I noticed that when I'm on a good regime of bone broth, my fingernails keep needing to be chopped off and my hair keeps needing to be cut and all of these things. Hair, skin?
Yeah, I'll tell you right now. So Andrew is our bone broth maker. I love working the bone broth booths. So I'm at the farmers markets. And I can't tell you how amazing it is to have customers come up to me and ask me about what is this bone broth, or to tell me about their experiences with bone broth. And all I have to do is stand there and show them. And I consume bone broth on a daily basis. I use tallow on my skin on a daily basis. I have noticed incredible differences in my overall health ever since I started doing
this. And that's why you're jumping out of trucks backwards.
It's why I'm jumping out of trucks backwards. I can't, it's amazing to me. This thing that I eschewed for years turns out to be the very thing that my body's been craving. And what I love is when families come up to me with young children who are willing to try the bone broth. And like puppy dogs, they lap it up. They just know.
Their bodies know. It's just so unequivocal.
You can tell folks who believe in bone broth, who believe in eating animal products, you see it in their skin. You see it in their hair. I don't need you to tell me. I can see it on you.
Okay. Andrew first.
Well, you know, you were talking about the booth, and there are those, you know, who never lost connection. A lot of folks from other countries, you know, haven't lost the connection like we have here in America with our ancestral diets. And one of my favorite customer moments was at the booth last week or so. Maybe it was at Carmel by the Sea, I believe. And these young ladies were in their prep school uniforms, and they were obviously in high school. And I thought, that's interesting. Are they just sampling, or you know? And they were students at Santa Catalina, which is a girls' prep school in Carmel, Monterey. And it turns out that they were exchange students from Mexico. They're from Sonora. They're exchange students from Mexico, and they're from Sonora. And they grew up in ranching families, and they drink bone broth every morning where they're from, you know, and always have. And to us, that's such an unusual and novel thing. And for other people in other places, it's just a way of life.
Well, we've lost our way. You know, we're like Little Red Riding Hoods in the forest, lost our way. And so we don't know about these things because they have been removed from our persons by an industrial food complex that doesn't want us to be eating these things. But we all know once we have our first sip that this stuff is real, especially when it's real bone tea. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take our last break. But when we come back, I want to follow up on just how we go about selling bone tea to a population of people who don't know anything about it. Stay tuned.
History buffs, this tale from Michael Olson's Tales from a Tin Can took place aboard the USS Dale at Eniwetok, February 1944.
We got detached for some close-in shore bombardment on one of the little coral islands. From a distance, they're just little slivers of white and green separating the blue sea and sky. Somehow we found ourselves blasting away with our 5-inchers from one side of the island, while the big old battleships on the other side were booming away with their giant 16-inch rifles. Trouble was, the trajectory of their rounds was flat, so a bunch of those 16-inch shells hit that round slip of coral and ricocheted right off in our direction. You could hear them roaring past right over our head, and they didn't sound friendly at all. Captain said, "Let's get the hell out of here."
Tales from a Tin Can contains 424 tales by 44 sailors aboard the USS Dale, from Pearl Harbor to Tokyo Bay. Order your Father's Day copy at talesfromatincan.com. That's talesfromatincan.com. Talesfromatincan.com.
Come on, you watch the news. Be prepared to pay more taxes. Then if you owe back taxes or haven't filed in a few years, get ready. The IRS, the largest collection agency in the world, will be coming after you with the power to collect taxes by any means they want to. Hey, they can freeze your bank account, your passport, even padlock your business. Oh, good times. Look, if the IRS claims you owe them $5,000 or more in back taxes and they're coming after you, don't panic. Call my friends at Get a Tax Lawyer first. Their job is to negotiate with the IRS and save you money. They're experts at it. That's all they do. And you can trust them. In some cases, they have reduced a $50,000 tax bill to less than $1,000. If you owe the IRS $5,000 or more in back taxes, call now for a free consultation.
Call 800-661-5096. 800-661-5096. 800-661-5096. That's 800-661-5096.
Are you nearly maxed out on your credit cards? It doesn't matter if you're using your credit cards for fun or to survive. At the end of the month, your statements come in, and you can either pay them or you can't. If you can't, late fees and interest rates get tacked on, and now you're struggling just to make the minimum payment due. Do you feel trapped? Am I talking to you? Good, because I personally researched some companies that can help you. They may be able to reduce your credit card balances by 50% and stop the late fees. If you qualify, please call our special debt hotline number right now for a complimentary, free 5-minute consultation. Deal with your credit card problem now before it gets much worse and put more money back in your pocket. Trust me, I've been there too. Call right now.
800-370-8128. 800-370-8128. 800-370-8128. That's 800-370-8128.
So much to say, so little time to say it, on The Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Welcome back. Michael Olson here with Cindy Campos, Weston A. Price Foundation, Santa Cruz County, California, Michelle Carter, and Andrew Renard, co-owners of Kitchen Table Cultures. Talking bone broth, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to have a lot of fun here talking about how bone broth can be introduced to people who really don't know what bone broth is. Andrew, before we do, we were talking about what a good bone looks like for bone broth, because we don't just want to throw any bone in the pot and spend 43 hours slow cooking it. We want to put some real good stuff in the pot. And there are two constituents to that, as I see it. One, what did the cows eat that we are going to eat? Because we are what we ate eats. Something like that. Andrew?
Well, I'm glad you reminded me of that, because first of all, cows are amazing creatures. They're ruminants, and they've evolved over millions of years to do something that we can't do, which is turn grass into protein. They get to do that. They do it quite well. And our beef bone broth is made from grass-fed, grass-finished beef bones. And see, don't get caught up, that grass-fed, all cows are grass-fed at some point. But grass-finished, that's another thing, right? That's the word you want to look for. And in that regard, my bones that I look for are from local ranchers that practice regenerative grazing practices, where they're actually, you know, using these ruminants, these cows, to actually restore the coastal prairies. And heresy, engaging in a carbon negative practice by restoring the coastal prairies. Because these prairie lands are missing the tule elk that used to roam. And once you take a notch out of an ecosystem, the wheels start coming off. So this regenerative grazing, Joe Morris is one of my ranchers. He has probably some the most beautiful bones I've ever seen. They're a great
mix. What is a beautiful bone?
Well, because there's a mix in his batches of marrow bones and bulbous connective, joint bones. Those big bulbous connective joint bones are rich in hyaluronic acid, which is the stuff that makes gelatin gel. We can get real caught up into a batch not being great because it didn't gel well enough. Well, maybe it had a lot of cartilage in it, but not enough of these, the hyaluronic acid containing joint bones. A good mix is good. Like I said, you can go to Whole Foods, get some marrow bones, and marrow is wonderful stuff, and we could go down a rabbit hole about marrow. But it's hard to find good gel bones, knuckle bones, as they call them, at your local butcher. But that's, okay. Pisces Ranch, another one that we source from.
So you look for good sources of good food.
Good local sources.
Food with its farmer's face on it. Look in their eyes and see what's in the bones, right?
I've shaken their hands. They're real people. And I can send it to Michelle, because that's one of the sales points for this whole thing that we're doing.
Oh, which is what we're going to get to in a moment. Cindy, you're up.
Oh, I just wanted to kind of add. So I've been a nurse for many, many years, and I understand that if we don't have a healthy gut, then we're going to contract many modern diseases. So if we really think about it, factually, there's 70% of our immune cells are actually located in our gut. And if we don't keep our gut healthy and keep our microbiome healthy, then we're going to contract a lot of diseases. And that's why it's so important to drink bone broth. And especially, I love how Andrew and Michelle say, bone broth first and then your coffee. So just do whatever that you can to keep that microbiome healthy so you don't contract any diseases.
And you got to feed the bugs.
That's exactly what we have to do, is we have to feed those bugs that we have inside.
There's a lot of them, too. So
there are.
Got to think about those things when you eat food. So, and now we live in a culture that's starting to pick up, back up on traditional foods. And a lot of it has to do with the Weston A. Price Foundation and whatnot. But when I met Michelle here, she had this wonderful comment. She said, I get all the vegetables I need.
Yes, that's exactly right. I am plant-free, and I'm proud of it.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I'm concerned, if you know where your food comes from, and in my case, I'm carnivore, they're doing the work for me. They're eating what I can't properly process and digest.
All of those wonderful plants in the
and that's I'm wonderful. I know it's good for you, but I don't process it quite as well as they do. And I respect my food. If I source it humanely, if I source it responsibly, I know that what I'm putting in my body, I know what it is. And we can get caught up on organic. I don't get caught up on organic. I just need to know that my animals were taken care of in an organic fashion. So yeah, so when I'm at the farmer's market booth and I have someone approach me who has never had bone broth before, or their only experience with bone broth is what they see in Costco, let's say for instance. And they ask me,
No disrespect.
I mean, I was there a few days ago. I know where to get my gas. when someone approaches me and they've never had it before, they want to know, what is the difference? Why should I be buying from you instead of the grocery store? There starts the conversation. And I just, it takes me back, because I was that person. I was on the other side of that table going, why should I do this? We start with good water. That is the foundation of what we're talking about here. So we can talk about bone broth all day long, bones, what have you. Water is so essential. High pH, high alkalinity. You want spring water. You want magnesium. This is what we're talking about. We start with good water. We add in those bones that Andrew and Cindy have been talking about. We want the knuckle bones. We want the chicken feet. We want to know that this is good, good stuff that's going in there. We add some raw organic apple cider vinegar to break down the bones, draw out the minerals, and that's it. The only thing left, time and patience. There you go, folks. That's it. What we do, you can do yourself. If you don't have time, if you don't have the inclination, come to us. We'll help you out.
Yeah, what do we do about 48 hours on the beef
we
bone
do
broth?
For Andrew cooks and low and slow 48 hours on the beef
and
broth.
And just a little over 24 hours on the chicken bone broth.
So, that's what I was doing until I discovered pressure cookers.
and it makes a delicious bone broth.
Yes,
and don't
does.
Get me wrong. A lot of people don't have the ability to spend that kind of time, you know.
Yeah, the mere fact that folks are coming to us with the willingness, mm-hmm. This is not a contest. You're starting somewhere, and that's brilliant. What you're doing is you're honing your skills. You're getting closer and closer to the way your great-grandparents ate.
Exactly. And what did they do when they made a stew? They built the stew around the bones, right?
They did. I mean, the foundation of the home is the kitchen. The foundation of the kitchen is the stock pot. That's how it always was. What we're trying to do, part of what Andrew and I are drawn to doing, is to help bring us back to the kitchen table. This is community for us, folks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sitting around the kitchen table, eating and talking and laughing and singing, and yes.
The most brilliant things come about when we're around the kitchen table.
Well, and then there's connecting people to the ranchers has been really exciting.
Oh, my goodness. When I am at the booth, I talk so openly about where we get our bones from, where we get our water from. It's so crucial. We need to know it for our business. You need to know it because it's going in your body. Shouldn't you care what's going in your body? I certainly do with my children. And this is how we eat at home. All we're doing is bringing it to more people. And it feels so good. And the other point that is so important for me to bring up on a regular basis, and I say it because I need to hear it. Local. It's all about keeping it local. We know our ranchers. We know where our water comes from. Andrew and I, we bank locally. It's all about the community. The more we have accountability in our community, the more it grows, the stronger it gets. And it just feels so good. I love the farmers markets because I see the same folks week after week, and we have these stories
I wanted to know if being there week after week and people walking by the first week and going, bone broth? Yuck.
Oh, we have vegetarians and vegans come over to us, and I love talking with everyone.
So I wanted to ask, how does a vegan react to bone broth?
Oh, yeah. We've gotten all kinds of reactions. But I have to tell you, there are a growing number of vegetarians. The only meat product they will consume is bone broth. This is real. I completely respect those who don't want to partake in other parts of the animal, but they understand that the nutrients are in the bones.
And I'll add from some of those customers, they've had testimonials about how they felt an immediate difference in their vitality and their stamina and their energy and everything else. I knew that when I worked at that cooperative I was mentioning earlier, we would have people that would come through that were actually even vegans, you know, except for the bone broth. Watching this awakening.
Do you tell them that you get all your vegetables in the meat?
I'm careful. I'm certainly careful. Some folks know that I'm carnivore, and I've had quite a few lovely conversations. I do have some folks who look at me like, wait, what? You don't get any vegetables? How about fruit? No, folks, that's just not my speed. I cannot begin to tell you, in my experience, what it has done to me from the inside out to have changed my eating habits and focused on carnivorism.
On meat.
We know another vendor that we're friendly with who is on a raw carnivore diet. I don't know if I'm willing to go that far yet. Yeah. Where Michelle is.
Yeah, I'm not certain.
I wouldn't be one to eat raw chicken. Cindy.
I just wanted to add, because Andrew said raw carnivore diet. So I have eaten raw meat, and I have eaten raw chicken livers. And honestly, it all started not last year, but the year before at the Wise Traditions conference. And I noticed that people were eating raw hamburger meat and raw eggs and raw liver. And they asked me if I had ever tried it. And let me tell you, I was hesitant. And I just said, no, I don't think I'm there yet. I don't think so. So when I came home from that conference, I went to the farmer's market and I went straight to Fogline Farms and picked up some chicken livers. And I put a little bit of some sea salt on there, some Redmond sea salt. And I said, Cindy, you can do this. And I did. And let me tell you, they were amazing. They taste so good. That was my first experience with raw meat. Then I went straight to hamburger meat. And let me tell you, it wasn't easy, but it's good. I don't do it all the time, but I have done it. And I, like Michelle, am also a carnivore. And I don't eat a lot of vegetables. I don't eat berries. I don't eat much of anything other than milk, butter, eggs, meat, and bacon. I love my bacon. Anyhow, but that's my experience with raw food.
Well, here we are in Santa Cruz, California, the vegan capital of the universe. And we have carnivores. Well, let's go through this again. I want to know who we are and how we can get in touch with you. Cindy, let's start with you.
So I'm Cindy Campos Mendoza. My email is cmendoza99@yahoo.com. And I am the chapter leader for the Weston A. Price Foundation here in Santa Cruz County. So shoot me an email, ask me some questions. I'll do my best to get you the right answers and guide you down to an ancestral way of eating.
How do we get in touch with Weston A. Price Foundation? Just Google Weston A. Price Foundation.
I would say just Google them.
Sure.
Yeah, but I mean, each state, each area actually has a chapter leader. So I am the local chapter leader for Santa Cruz County.
We have Katarina Cobley down in Monterey County. She's our local chapter leader.
Are you and how did we get in touch with you?
So Andrew and I, we're Kitchen Table Cultures. We're based out of Monterey County. We are commercial kitchens in Moss Landing, folks. We are entirely local. To reach us, our website, kitchentablecultures.com. It does not get any easier than that.
Well, good. Now, let me ask you this. Does bone broth really work?
Oh, I mean, if you could see me and you could see where I was a few years ago, that's all you need to know. And all I can say, coming from the person who's real hard-headed here, the proof is in the pudding. You just got to try it
and
yourself.
And you just have to watch Michelle jump out of the truck backwards.
Yes.
Land on the ground. Yes. Thank you all for tuning in. This has been the Food Chain Radio Program. Remember, Michael Olson's third law of the food chain, cheap food isn't. Thank you.
Amen.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with Michael Olson. And if your friends missed the show, tell them to log on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com for a listen. Now, go out and find some food with its farmer's face on it and live.